Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is The Big Picture and this is A.B. Dawji coming to you simultaneously on Radio Islam and Radio Al-Ansar. So, how was your week, eh? Well, you can say one thing about South Africa. There's something new happening every day. Something exciting and usually very scary. How's things at home, eh, with the pajama gangster around? Terrorizing you with all kinds of irritating demands. I know you keep rolling your eyes. Well, at least all he is doing is getting on your nerves. Do you remember that I told you that in the first 3 weeks after the lockdown started on March 27th, the National Helpline received more than 120,000 victims. More than 120,000 victims had rung the South African National Helpline for gender-based violence. 120,000 calls, can you believe it, eh? Hey, and you won't guess where else there is this kind of problem. Listen to this. Divorce rates have increased by 96.7% during the lockdown imposed by Saudi Arabia to tackle the coronavirus pandemic, the Ministry of Justice said. According to the ministry's monthly report, the number of divorce certificates issued in June alone reached 4,079, which is 53% in the Riyadh area and in the Makkah regions. Lawyers Asim Al-Mulla said several reasons have contributed to the increasing divorce rates, including marital problems, lack of agreement between couples, the increasingly financial demands on the husband, as well as the husband's misconduct, such as drug abuse or violent behavior. Al-Mulla stressed that premarital causes must be mandatory to help couples understand their roles and duties. Yeah, eh? Can you believe it, eh? This unholy situation is happening in the Holy Land. Well, I have a solution to this. When the flights open up again, they say it might happen in October, then on the very first flight to Jeddah, we'll send my dear friend Idris Kamisa to go and sort them out. I'll tell him to pack like a shambok into his luggage. Ish. This corona thing is really, really corroding people's brains. But let me tell you something. This virus is totally unpredictable. No one can say with absolute certainty how it behaves. We've heard all kinds of stories, for example, that the very young are not adversely affected because their immune system is very strong. That notice has been revised very quickly and more young people are succumbing to it and have become seriously ill. Secondly, there is also the general belief that it's only the lungs that are affected, the breathing. That has also changed. Other organs are damaged. And there are impressions here in South Africa that the recovery rate is high. Therefore, it's like the flu. And after you get over the virus and you are declared negative, you will be back to your former self, back to 100% health. Wrong. I've met people whose lungs are permanently damaged, or parts of them, and are having breathing difficulties. Here's a horror story. Some have been on a ventilator, very seriously ill, and developed blood clots even before that. Or the blood flow was seriously obstructed, and they ended up with having parts amputated. Yes, I saw a nurse who was seriously ill and recovering. She was in hospital and interviewed by CNN, and she held up her hands to show the effect of blood obstruction. Her fingers were pitch black like pieces of charcoal. Gangrene had set in and her fingers, or maybe the whole hand, will have to be amputated, both her hands. I was so shocked, the image firmly imprinted on my mind. It was horrific. Since then, I've heard of other such developments, such cases of amputation. So people, don't take this virus for granted when you hear that the recovery rate is high. It doesn't necessarily mean full recovery. Another notion that I believe is inaccurate is this question about when will the peak of the infection be reached. My view is that no one can say for certain. People say that the experts, the scientists say it will end at this time or that time. Not true. Not true. We heard recently that the peak will be around October. Yesterday, I heard from a top guy that it will be at the end of December. Why I don't believe this is that such predictions were made in other countries, such as Spain, for example. The peak has been reached, we were told, and so there will be a return. There will be a reduction in the number of cases from now onwards. Well, Russia said the same thing. It said it was under control. Latest figures, almost 1 million people are infected right now. Figures I got last night. In March, Spain's infection rate level was very high. In mid-June, it was right down. Can you believe it? Right down. Today, it's very, very high with 500,000 confirmed cases of infection. So, let me repeat. It is my view that no one can really predict when the peak will be reached. Or, in fact, when the pandemic itself will be over. And, therefore, BioBen or Buzruko. That's my unscientific assessment of the situation. They don't call me the prophet of doom for nothing. So, as usual, over the past months, the COVID-19 topic has been the main topic of discussion everywhere. This dangerous, powerful, invisible enemy has turned the whole world upside down. For me also, every day is Sunday. Nothing to do. Okay, here's a question. What is the most useless item in your possession at the moment? Think about it. Hey, ladies, stop pointing to that lazy lump in the lounge. Eh? Well, the answer is your passport. I look at my new one, brand new one, the fat one with many pages. It's just lying there on my desk in my room and keeps asking me, when are we going, bro? When are we going? Of course, the only other topic, hot topic, very hot of discussion, is the Chorwan virus, corruption. Aren't you just sick of it? The wholesale stealing of your money. You know, there are two things that are happening at the same time that has got your eyebrows raised, or you've thrown your hands up in the air and wondering, what the hell is happening? We have the Zondo comedy show where the Chorwans are appearing one by one and doing all kinds of verbal acrobatics with some really ridiculous stories in attempting to defend their corrupt activities, mainly during the Zuma years. Better known as, of course, state capture. I call it the comedy show because I heard something quite hilarious this week. let me ask you this. If you open your bank account statement online and discover that someone had put 20,000 rands into your account, would you wonder why it came into your account, or would you just shrug your shoulders and just leave it? What about if you discovered 100,000 rands coming into your account today from nowhere? Into your account. Would you just ignore it? And if you saw 1 million deposit, would it make you wonder, maybe question where or why it came and so on? Or would you just think, that's nice, so nice, eh? And then move on to have your coffee and nankatai or whatever. Well, one first-class laddu by the name of Vuyisile Nzeku had quite a few bouts of amnesia when questioned this week about a huge amount of money that came into his account. How much was it? 2.5 million rands. He actually said that he didn't remember it coming into his account and doesn't know why it was deposited there. Listen to this mampara.
His 2.5 million rand of the 28.5 million rand received from Swissport is on the same day.
Yes.
Paid to BM Kolisi. Do you see that?
I can see that.
Yes.
My question, where it was coming from? Swissport or from JM?
No, Swissport comes in. It's the JM Aviation bank account, and JM Aviation pays it out to BM Kolisi.
Okay.
The BM Kolisi with whom you have no dealings at all.
Yes.
And then there's another payment out. Do you see that? It's called agreement 2316. Do you
yes,
see that?
Yes,
yes. And that's an amount of 2.5 million, correct?
Yes.
Do you know who that was paid to?
This agreement. Mm. 2, 3, 6 months, yes.
Yes. Who was it paid to?
I don't know.
It was paid to you, Mr. Ndeku.
This 2.5?
Yeah.
What was paid for? It was not paid to Jay and it was paid to me.
Yes.
Okay. That's good. I'm happy. That's good if I did get some money, just for getting some money.
Yes, your evidence earlier was that you got nothing.
No, but it's fine. If then you're saying they pay me that 2.5, I don't understand. What was that money for?
I don't either. Could you enlighten us?
This is money from your company to you.
After they received the Swissport 28.5.
This company never gave me 2.5 million rand. Hmm? JM never gave me that money. Maybe this money stayed with JM.
No. It went into your bank account, Mr. Ndeku.
Do we have it yet?
Yes, we do. Would you like me to take you to it?
Please, yes.
Do you actually have no recollection, Mr. Ndeku, of receiving 2.5 million rand on the 23rd of March 2016, as you sit here today?
I must tell you that I was thinking that this was the money for the company.
What was the money for the company?
Maybe this 2.5 was for JM. I didn't know that it was mine.
No, but Mr. Nzegu, if an amount of 2.5 million rand was transferred or deposited into your account,
yes.
Is there any chance you would not know about that?
Well, Chair, I'll have to know, but it's a long time. In my mind, I was also thinking that this money was for the company. Now, when the counselor says, no, this money came to my account.
Yes, is 2.5 million a small change for you?
No, Chair. It's a lot of money.
So, it's a lot of money.
Yes.
So, how could you forget if that amount came into your account?
But, okay, let's agree now that it did. Because, when was it? What year was this again, the counselor?
2016, March.
Yeah, that was...
But the council was going to take you to, I think, your bank statement.
Okay.
Yeah, to show that it took this 2.5 million.
How many if you can take me to?
You know what? I just couldn't help laughing as I was watching this. Alu making an ass of himself. So, regarding corruption, there are two aspects to this issue. Firstly, people are absolutely fed up. Deeply angry with what they see as high-level corruption in the ANC. Some are even calling it the African National Chorwans. And secondly, they see Cyril Ramaphosa has been completely incapable of fighting this corruption. So people are frustrated and, more importantly, they feel helpless. Did you get that? People are frustrated and they feel helpless. Yes, let me emphasize that word, helpless. Why? Because although they are completely fed up with the ANC, they don't know what to do about it. I hear on the radio, every single day I listen to the radio, almost throughout the day, people calling in and saying the same thing over and over. They don't know what to do about it. Some said that they won't vote for the ANC. But none of them say who they will vote for. Many see the EFF as also involved in alleged corruption. Red overalls and Gucci shoes. Yes, of course, some may see it as a way of teaching the ANC a lesson and cross over to the EFF. But it's highly unlikely that many, many will go to the Democratic Party, given that its two main black high-level individuals, that is Herman Mashaba and Musi Maimane, suddenly departed, giving the impression that it's mainly a party for whites. So the dilemma remains. Who to vote for in the next elections? This corrupt ANC, or maybe don't vote at all? My fellow South Africans, after much serious thought, I have at last found the perfect solution to this dilemma. Yes, folks, I have found the answer to the problem. I am forming a political party. So, who will vote for me? Put your hands up, please. 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 9. Wow. I've just counted about 2 million people voted for me. Okay, you know I'm kidding, right? I'm kidding. So, fasten your seat belts and put your seats in the upright position. I'm going to say something that's unspoken may be completely radical and perhaps totally outrageous. But before I announce my wonderfully brilliant solution to this whole question of corruption, let me first paint a picture of what an effective democracy should look like. Right now, the United States is in the throes of election fever. Trump, the Republican, against Biden, the Democrat. Who is going to be the next president? No one really knows. Well, I am hoping that Pagla wins because he has done more damage to the reputation of the United States than any other president. He is my man. So, the race is quite close and Trump could still pull the rabbit out of the hat. So, let's look at the recent history. Trump is the president. He is from the Republican Party. Before him, we had Obama of the Democratic Party. Before him, George Bush of the Republican Party. Before him, Bill Clinton. He was a Democrat, and before him, old man Bush, that's George H.W. Bush, small shrub's father. He is a Republican also. So, let's look at Britain. Current Prime Minister Boris Johnson, Conservative Party. Before that, Theresa May, Conservative. Before her, David Cameron and Gordon Brown, Labour Party. Before that, Tony Blair, also Labour. And John Major, Conservative. So this one party replaced another and so on during election. All of these prime ministers worked very hard and the race was very close, always very close. None of them was absolutely sure of winning. They had to convince the public that they were the right persons to lead the country, or the right party to lead the country at a particular time. And the good thing about the British system is that each member of parliament represents a certain area, a constituency. And so you could, for example, have the MP for, say, Durban South. People know you, they vote for you because they believe that you could deliver, you can meet their needs, and if you fail, then at the next election, they boot you right out and vote for a person from another party who is perhaps more competent. A good system, don't you agree? Well, here's a question. Who is your MP? Who's your MP? You don't know, do you? Secondly, I always wonder what exactly do these MPs in Parliament actually do? When they wake up in the morning, who do they answer to? What do they do? Who holds them responsible for anything? Anyway, that's a story for some other time. Okay, let's get back to this feeling of helplessness that people feel in the face of in the face of this industrial scale looting that's going on. Right? Looting that's... let's look at the ANC. Pre-1994, it was called a movement. And that was, of course, correct. It was a broad-based movement to rid the country of apartheid. After 94, it took part in elections and so was a political party. I heard yesterday a politician referring to it again as a movement. It's got a sentimental resonance about it. It's a party, okay? Khalas, that's it. It's a party. It's a political party. And it was going to deliver us from evil. Mandela said he will take only half his salary, and hopes were high post just after 1994. The ANC of today is not the ANC of Thabo. Or for Oliver Tambo or Nelson Mandela. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. A party full of thieves. I just have to be frank here. A party full of thieves. Many still undiscovered. Tell me this. All of this was there when Zuma headed the country. When Zuma handed the country over to the Guptas, right? When he handed them over. We saw and read what was happening for about 8 years. You know, and, you know, there's one good thing about our country. It has a free press, investigative journalism, everything exposed, and a fairly independent judiciary. But we have an ANC that closes ranks if the party is criticized. As Zuma said, if I recall correctly, the unity of the ANC comes first. So in the name of unity, there was what the mafia call umerta. Omerta, a code of silence about criminal activity. Closing of ranks. They were the human shields for the Zupta corruption. What an absolute disgrace. And opposition parties in parliament, as you saw many times, brought up some serious issues, serious claims and charges. And ANC MPs shouted them all down during the Zuma period. You remember that? And Zuma stood at the podium. What was his answer when this was carrying on? When his comrades were shouting the other side down? All he said was, And I always wonder about one thing. Why in parliament, they must get rid of this term. Please, they must get rid of this term in parliament. They must not address the members there as honorable members, because all of them are not honorable. Hey? There is that old expression, there's honor amongst thieves. So please, no more that term, honorable members. Right. And so we got Mr. New Dawn. Mr. Tumamina, send me, I'll clean up the mess. Well, he really battled to get this position as president. Millions were spent in his election campaign, as we all know. For what? Well, that's another mystery that needs clearing up. So we had the pro-Zuma group and the pro-Cyril group. We have two factions there. And ever since then, there is a low-level war carrying on inside the ANC. How will Cyril fight corruption when there are powerful people within the ANC who are allegedly steeped in corruption? Right at the top, big boys. He is politically impotent to take any action. It's a log jam. If he makes a move, he will either be booted out, the long knives are already out, or the party will split. Therein lies the answer, my fellow South Africans. Therein lies the answer. You know the old saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. The party at the first election garnered over 60% of the vote. It got over 60% of the vote. Subsequently, its percentage fell a bit, but still it had a huge majority. So here is what I say. Cyril must take drastic and decisive action, as he has been promising from 2017. Go after the big boys, the tenderpreneurs, the tenderpreneurs. They love it, eh? And I think they need to have a theme song, these tenderpreneurs, a theme song, waiting for the tenders. They should have this theme song. And it's something from my pre-Hidayat days. And I'm going to take the risk of singing it to you right now at the risk of getting a few claps. But, hey, this is satire, so don't get cross, okay? I think the theme song for these tenderpreneurs should be this. Are you ready? Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go. You have made my life complete, and I love you so. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfilled. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. What do you think of that, eh? Hey? Right, you think I should keep my day job? I don't have a day job, actually. Right, so where were we now? Let's see. And, okay, I don't want to read to you from what I saw in today's paper. It was quite shocking. Maybe if I got time, I'll do that a bit later. So, as I said, Cyril must take decisive action. And let's be clear about the elephant in the room that people are speaking about. From the pack of corrupt cards, the pack of cards, the ace is seen by many as allegedly being involved in high-level corruption. The dairy farm thing, and even now his son's got 2.3 million PPE funds. Every single political commentator has pointed at Ace Magashule. But Cyril is afraid that if he acts, it will cause huge ruction in the party. Well, Mr. President, here's the story. Act now and stuff the consequences. You said you are the new broom, so come out of the cupboard and sweep away all the chorwans. And if the result is that the ANC splits, well, that will be an absolutely wonderful thing. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? No, I'm not smoking anything. That will be a wonderful thing. Instead of one big, powerful party that dominates and has been dominating for the last 25 years or something, we will have two or even maybe three smaller parties out of this one big one. And they will have to compete with one another and the other ones also who are there presently in the opposition for our votes. That's right. Then we can decide whether to vote for Magashule's party or Cyril's party or maybe Nkosazana Zuma's party. Do you see what I'm getting at? No more will they just take the people for granted. No more. And here's one important point. In 1994, everyone decided that we will have an election system known as proportional representation. Because the thinking was that if we have the British system where there's one man, one vote and have MPs, then the ANC will walk it and have only its members in parliament. That was the thinking at that time. So they said, okay, and it was quite a good setup. We'll count all the votes in the whole country for each party, and then depending what percentage of the total vote that was cast, that's the number of seats that particular party will get in parliaments. It was a fair system at that time to give all parties a say in parliament. So each party drew up a list of its candidates and say, let's say it had 100 names and got only a small percentage of the total votes in the country that granted it maybe only about 4 seats in parliament. Well, that was fine. Are you with me? Do you get it? Proportional representation. The ANC also had its list chosen by itself. It decided what names had to be on the list. And if it got a percentage that granted it, say, 90 seats, then the first 90 people on the list got to parliament. We know there are MPs. We know that there are MPs, but they don't actually serve any particular district, no particular constituency, like Durban South or something. And then, and the party itself also chooses the president. So in fact, there is no direct accountability to the people. You don't have your own MP that you can approach and ask him why he's not doing his job properly and so on. And with the ANC split, if this happens, this is my solution, if the ANC splits into smaller parties, we can have the British system of election, the Westminster system, as it's called, of electing an MP for each large district constituency. Right? MPs will be scared of the public who can vote them out at the next election. Do you see what I'm getting at? The ANC is too big. Too big means too powerful. And too powerful means that it can ignore you. And that's why people feel helpless. So, Mr. President, Minir Cyril Ramaphosa, Tina Tumila Wena, right? You said we must send you. Now get the dugu and shock stick and go after the chorwans. You got big praise for writing a stern letter to the ANC during this last week, saying that it is accused number one. Whoa! You said, as far as corruption is concerned, the ANC is accused number one. People described it as tough talk. People said, you see, he's acting at last. You know, this reminds me of a story. Two cops came to the home of Kurs. They tell him to open the gate because they believe he's growing dacha in his backyard. And Kurs says, Minir, it's not safe to come in here. Eh? It's not safe. And they respond very angrily and say, hey, you Anna. You see this badge? It says we are the police and we can come in whether you say it's safe or not. Okay, so open up. and Coors opens the gate, and the cops go to the backyard. And as they're walking around, two big Rottweilers come charging up to them, and they scream, "Hey, boss, call off the dogs!" And Coors shouts back, "Show them your badge, show them your badge, and tell them you're cops and you can go anywhere." So, Cyril Bai really thinks that a stern letter will stop the Chorwans. They're probably laughing at it. Eh? You know what they say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can't hurt me. And the last person in South Africa, who should be replying to Cyril's letter is Jacob Zuma. That's right. He wrote a long open letter saying, "Ach, shame, man. How can you say that the ANC is accused number one? You are insulting all the members of the ANC, including the poor people in rural areas who voted for the ANC. Not right, eh? Not right." This is what he said. Basically, I mean, I'm just giving you the gist of it. Can you believe the angle he takes when Cyril is clearly referring to the fat cats, the chore politicians of the ANC, and not the ordinary voters? You want to laugh some more? Tony Yengeni, remember him, was found guilty in 2003 of fraud and corruption. Then in June 2018, he was made the head of the Crime and Corruption Committee of the ANC. I'm not making this up, eh? No, Habibi, I'm not joking. It's been reported that Yengeni also responded to Cyril's letter and said, "Lead by example and resign." The word for that kind of speed talking is the word is chutzpah. Chutzpah. Let me spell it for you. C-H-U-T-Z-P-A-H. C-H-U-T-Z-P-A-H. Be careful how you pronounce it. It's pronounced chutzpah. I explained to you before what it meant. You say something that is outrageously daring. For example, a young chap kills his parents and tells the magistrates to please give him a lenient sentence because he's an orphan now. He's an orphan. You know what really sticks in my throat? Yes, some action has been taken. People who have been accused of corruption were asked to step down, suspended, until they are found guilty in a court of law. Innocent until proved guilty. And so they continue to receive their full salaries while sitting at home. They have been suspended, not found guilty. I opened today's paper, this morning's paper, and I read the headline, "Gumede faces integrity probe." But while she has been suspended, she will be receiving a salary of 100,000 rands a month. I think it was last week at Zondo Commission, one lady said that she was suspended 2 years ago, and Zondo asked her what she did in that time. And she said, well, she read newspapers at home to see what was happening and all that. And he asked her what was her pay while she was reading newspapers, and she answered, 2 million rands. Unbelievable, right? Millions are paid to chores to sit at home. What a life. So, this is my solution. The ANC must be broken up. It must split. It may sound like a pipe dream, pie in the sky. It may sound radical or even laughable, but the situation is absolutely serious. As I said, two things. Cyril is seen as useless, and ordinary people are feeling helpless. Now, one more thing. People may still feel a sentimental attachment to the ANC and feel they can't vote for anyone else. You know, this organization liberated us. So they have some sentimental attachments. Here's the answer. Those who are clean, I'm thinking of people like Naledi Pandor, and those who are relatively clear, like Cyril and Pravin and all the top guys who were fired for probing corruption during the Zuma years, should form a new party. Maybe also pull in some veterans who served under Mandela. It may not be the perfect solution, but people will at least feel that they are voting for the ANC in some way. And by the way, where are the Guptas, eh? Where are the Guptas? If I remember correctly, the extradition treaty with the UAE, United Arab Emirates, where Dubai is, was completed. So I was expecting them to be on the first plane out. But I wonder why there is a delay, and I'm going to go into the conspiracy theory area now and say that if they were brought back here home, then they will spill the proverbial beans and you'll see more people in orange overalls. So, we need a radical solution to a rotten situation. We can't continue like this. The country is going down the drain. State capture part one is not yet dealt with, and we have state capture part two, the PPE Chorwans. It's now time to do what was regarded as the unthinkable. The unthinkable. Let's stop blaming apartheid and the so-called white monopoly capital that keeps coming up. Let us break the monopoly of power that the ANC exercises, the monolith, one big monolith, like an impenetrable fortress. Hmm? Listeners over and over say the ANC is rotten to the core. So, therefore, I suggest that we need a new freedom struggle to free us from the rogues of the original freedom movement. Start the conversation. Start the conversation. Unless, of course, you have a better idea. Nobody has any ideas of how to deal with all of these things. So, let's hear it, eh? Let's hear it if you have a better idea. But let's start the conversation. Just this morning, I got a message on WhatsApp. Maybe it sums up everything I just said. And it is something of a coincidence. Patrice Lumumba was the first Prime Minister of Congo after it was freed from the control of Belgium, the colonialists. He was a very, very good man, very intelligent man, deeply concerned about his country. Of course, there was interference from powerful countries, you know, Congo's got resources, so outside countries, first he turned to the America and then to the United Nations, they refused to help him, then he went to the Soviet Union and asked them, and then there was Cold War, so it was not a good thing for him to have done, and therefore there was an uprising there, a military coup, and to cut a long story short, he was imprisoned and executed by a firing squad on the 17th of January, 1961. A good man, as I said, an intelligent man. This is what he said. These are his words. The tragedy with Africa is that those with ideas are not in power, while those in power have no ideas. When the people have a chance, they still vote for these with no ideas. Whew! How is that, eh? And I will leave you to ponder on that one. And just one more. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again, don't expect a different result. Vote for the ANC as it is today, one big block, and you will keep on crying. Khalas, Habibi. I've had my say. Take it or leave it. I had a whole lot of other things to speak about, but this proposal I have, this solution to break the logjam, turned out to be longer than I expected. Right, let me just try to round up now, right? I'll just round up now. I'm getting quite cross. Right, my dear Muslim listeners, now I'm getting to the part, you know, this is an educational program, okay? Remember that. It's not only just for laughing or anything like that. It's an educational program. So my dear Muslim listeners, did you know that many expressions that you use when you speak are related to booze? Huh? Did you know that? Now that sounds strange and confusing, eh? Strange and confusing. Words that you have used very often, maybe from your childhood days, without thinking what they actually mean, where they came from. Let me give you examples so you understand how and why they relate to booze. How do they relate to booze? Take the word honeymoon. You never thought what its origin is. Did you? You never thought. As I said, that these words are related to booze, which, of course, we all know are wrong, haram, evil. Okay, I'm going to read something to you. It was accepted practice in Babylonia 14,000 years ago that for a month after the wedding, the bride's father would supply his son-in-law with all the mead he could drink. And mead is a honey beer. And because their calendar was lunar-based, this period was called the honey month, or what we know today as the honeymoon. Right? You got that? So it all has got to do with booze. Before thermometers were invented, brewers, people who make the booze, would dip a thumb or finger into the mix to find the right temperature for adding yeast. Too cold and the yeast wouldn't grow. Too hot and the yeast would die. This thumb in the beer is where we get the phrase rule of thumb. You must have used it at some times. Right, here's another one. The English pubs ale is ordered, the booze is ordered by pints and quarts. That's the measurement, pints and quarts. In the old days we used to use that too. So in old England, when customers got unruly, the bartender would yell at them to mind their own pints and quarts and settle down. Mind your pints and quarts and settle down. It's where we get the phrase, mind your P's and Q's. You used that one before, right? Got to do with booze. Wrong, haram, evil. Right, after consuming a bucket or two of vibrant brew, booze, they call ale, the Vikings would head fearlessly into battle, often without armor or even shirts. They were all like drunk. In fact, the term berserk means bare shirt. That means without a shirt, bare shirt in the Norse language. And eventually took the meaning of the wild battles. That means they've gone berserk, bare shirt. I wonder, berserk, what it means. That what is right. So in 19, here's another one. In 1740, Admiral Vernon of the British fleet decided to water down the navy's rum. The sailors were not too pleased and called Admiral Vernon Old Grog, after the stiff wool grogram coats that he wore. He wore coats made out of some grogram wool. So they called him Grog. We soon began to mean the watered-down drink itself. When you're drunk on this grog, you were groggy, a word still in use and which you have been using also. Hey, I'm feeling very groggy today. So it's, the origin is booze. Right, so there you have it, eh? Educational program this is. Now that you know these expressions relate to booze, I wonder if Muslims can still use them. Well, I think I'll put a call through to PE and find out. I'm just worried I might be called some, maybe Zindig and I don't know what else. I like that one. What's it? Flap Doodler. Maybe I'll be called a Flap Doodler. No, I don't. Forget about calling PE. And here's one also about politician. An honest politician is one who, when he is bought, will stay bought. That means if you buy a politician, if he's honest, he will stay bought. That means he will not give you up. Right. So, let's see what else I've got for you today. Here's another last one here. Mark Twain said this. I saw a startling sight today. A politician with his hands in his own pockets. Right. We've got just maybe about 2 or 3 minutes, so let me see if I can find you some light from the light of the graveyard. The graveyard of the light at the end of the tunnel. Last week in Isipingo, some chaps hijacked a big sack of human hair. A big sack of human hair that is used to make wigs. And police spokesperson Koos Vermaak said, the latest that police got is that we are combing the area, hey? Also in Isipingo, another police report is that some hijackers, while speeding off in a stolen car, crashed into a truck carrying a load of concrete. The whole load fell onto them. Police spokesperson Koos Vermaak said, the police are looking for hardened criminals, eh? Ronnie was writing an entrance exam to join the police force. He was asked, what would you do if you had to arrest your mother-in-law? And Ronnie answered, I will call for backup, sir. Someone knocked at Ronnie's door in Mirbank. It was a schoolboy. And he said, sir, we are building a swimming pool at school and we're looking for a small donation. Ronnie said, no problem. And he went inside and he came back and he gave the boy a glass of water. Well, that's all I got for you today. Think about all the things that I told you about the ANC. As I said, that's my view. That's my solution. Like it or leave it. No problem, Habibi. And with that, let me just remind you that after 12 o'clock, we cross over to radio. You can cross over to Radio Al Ansar. Just put the words audio streaming Radio Al Ansar and you will hear me there with part two of The Big Picture. So until next week, inshallah, this is David Audi bidding you all. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.